107.5 Mitchell's Plain.
We've got you covered. CCFM is everywhere.
It's In Season with Sakhe Racha on 107.5. Good morning if you just tuned in and welcome to it. That is music by Big Daddy Weave. It's titled I Know. I hear that when I played you a song done by Tasha Layton. It's How Far and Promised Land by Yanga and Amanda Black and also the Soweto Gospel Choir, reminding us Sokoti, there is a promised land that we are living towards. It's 10:17 on In Season with Sakhe on your beautiful, beautiful Wednesday. And you know how we roll every Wednesday. She's back. She's beautiful. She is just radiant. And we are just ready to unlock with her. And she also has a guest. But firstly, welcome. How are
you? Thank you. Thank you. You're looking beautiful yourself. We've got a beautiful, intelligent, absolutely amazing interview guest that is on standby. So hello, Cape Town. Hello, South Africa. Africa. Hello, Africa. We're at Unlocked with Nokwazi at In Season with Sakhe. Mm-hmm. And we are talking to someone that is extremely beautiful, as you can see.
Yeah.
Highly intelligent, highly accomplished. She is the CEO of the Health Funders Association. Sure. So today we're talking to a woman of substance who is changing the landscape of healthcare. Okay, so business owners, entrepreneurs, call that dial. And the dial is none other than CCFM 107.5. Yeah. Tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your brother, tell your sister, tell everybody that we're on air and we're basically changing the landscape, right? Mm-hmm. And so this lady is absolutely amazing. And so what we want to really unpack today is the understanding to say, how does a woman of substance stand out in healthcare? Mm. And she has done really amazing thing. Other than being the CEO of the Health Funders Association, she's also the vice chairman, right, of the Legal Practitioners Fidelity Fund. And you have been called Miss Phumelele Makatini as a seasoned and dynamic entrepreneur. Mm. And in 2020, in one of your previous portfolios, when you were named the CEO and principal officer of the Building and Construction Industry Medical Aid Fund, you were called a very dynamic entrepreneur. And we want you to tell the listeners about your entrepreneurial journey and how you've become the CEO of the Health Funders Association. Welcome, Ms. Phumelele Makatini.
Yay. Thank you very much for that outstanding warm welcome. So I think the reason why I was given such a title in that year, it's because I outperformed. I managed to grow the scheme, the medical scheme, by 7.9% during the hard lockdown. You would recall that from 2020 until late last year, things were not, the economic way of doing things was quite different. So I managed to grow the scheme in a very difficult situation. You would also recall, I'm not sure how well vested you are about the medical scheme industry, but before I took over, the scheme had not grown in 15 years, and I managed to grow it to that degree within 18 months of joining the organization. So I guess being focused, being determined, being a self-starter and being driven have led me to getting such results. I'm very outcomes driven, and we actually got to demonstrate that work can be done even when people work from home. It's not about being in the office, but it's about having a dedicated team of people who understand that there's work that needs to be done. So I guess that's what why I was given that title. But prior to me joining BCMA, the Building and Construction Industry Medical Aid Fund, I was a full-time entrepreneur. I started a drone company, and I spent a lot of time between Johannesburg and China, Shenzhen and Beijing in particular. We put together a drone startup, which was funded by the Innovation Hub in South Africa. And then I sold my share and I moved back to corporate. And since then, I you know, I started another new venture within the health space, which I will talk to your audience about at a much later stage. So entrepreneurship is in my DNA, and I think that there's something called corporate entrepreneurship as well, which can be taken to corporate. So that's really been my journey, and I think that's why I was given the title that I was given.
Wow. You know what, Miss Pumelelo Makatini, I really loved your article on Business Day, mm-hmm. right? So you talk about it in terms of medical schemes really want to help to give access to medical care to all of South Africans. How true is that statement? And we also want to understand in terms of when we implement the NHI, what will happen to the medical schemes? Just to highlight and enlighten us what that whole discussion is all about.
Yeah, that's a very important question. Perhaps I should start with your last question. What's going to happen to medical schemes once NHI is enforced? Well, the medical scheme industry will be disrupted. That's a given. And it's going to be disrupted in a sense that government will be providing all healthcare services, and the medical schemes will only play a role for, let's just call it an augmentation role, wherein, you know, government is not providing that service, then we would be the service providers to do that. Because they're not going to be able to cover all of the healthcare needs that are required, but it's just a small portion that will be given to medical schemes. So you can imagine what that would do to the income of the medical schemes. So it will be a huge disruptor. So they will play a very small role. And so that's really not ideal. What we deem as ideal for South Africa at large, as per the opinion piece that you're referring to that was published in Business Day. I'm saying that during the pandemic, we were able to demonstrate how we work well with government. So private-public partnerships do work. We really worked well. We want to help government to roll out NHI because universal healthcare is a must. It's a human right. And in order to do that successfully, we want to work with government. And we're saying that a single funded model is not ideal. It hasn't been successful world over. Even in developed nations, a single fund system has not worked. So we are negotiating with government. We are asking them to consider a multi-funded model, which will work better for South Africa. So, I think in a nutshell, that's how I would answer your questions pertaining to NHI.
Yeah. Your credentials, Ms. Pumelelo Makatini, really astounding. That's what I would say, you know, four degrees and counting, right? An MBA in entrepreneurship, honors degree in politics, a BA in communication, and most recently also graduated at Oxford. So you are an Oxonian. So tell us about the importance of how education has propelled your success in business, specifically in corporate entrepreneurship.
Well, I think it's important to be educated as a woman, first and foremost, because that way you debunk the myth that you got to the top using other means. You know, it's said that even other educated women, their reputations get tarnished because they're told that they got to the top because they slept their way. So the importance of having an education really debunks such myths. So it is important to be educated as a woman. And then another thing that is highly, highly important is what education has done for me is it has given me confidence to speak with authority on any subject matter. And I am not questioned. My credibility and my credentials are not questioned ever. So it really helps in that regard. But we also work in a global economy, and we are in high-paced environments where being a think tank is a requirement. You need to be a critical thinker. You need to be solutions oriented all the time to be an effective leader. So education really comes to play in that regard, particularly when you're able to convert the theory into practice. And that's how it has helped me move forward.
Yeah. Sure, that is incredible. Ms. Magatini, if I may, you mentioned just now, you know, the importance of education and how it catapulted you to where you are, with also the esteemed accolades that you managed to attain. And I want to quickly circle back to something that you mentioned, you know, as an entrepreneur, you spoke about you are results driven, you know, and I believe that is extremely important in this fraternity. Now, I'm thinking about, you know, an entrepreneur who's just entered the markets and who possess the same trait as you are, they're results driven. Now, how would you motivate that particular entrepreneur to stay on track, that is, whenever there are distractions in the marketplace or from their own personal lives? Because, I mean, we are real people. We go through a lot. So what would you say to that particular entrepreneur that will help to make sure they keep track and they stay on track?
Okay, that's an interesting question. I think self-belief is critical. You need to believe in yourself, because sometimes your vision is a pie in the sky. I remember when I entered the drone space, very few people knew much about unmanned aerial vehicles, which is another name for drones. And, you know, in Africa, we are not the first adopters of drone technology. So I was met with a lot of criticism. You know, there's a lot of naysayers, et cetera, et cetera. So self-belief is important. You need to outline your vision and must be clear. And you must stay committed to your vision and be focused. You know, I draw strength from my Christian values as well. I liked the show. I think the preamble of the show was that we are talking to a woman of substance, and that comes from my spiritual beliefs. But more than that, I think business is tough, whether you are a corporate entrepreneur or a fully fledged entrepreneur in the commercial world on your own. It's very, very tough. There's lots of curveballs, and, you know, lots of the stuff that you encounter out there are stuff. It's stuff that is not in the textbooks. So it's what they don't teach you in any business school. And you have to find your way to navigate. So when the tides are high and very aggressive, you just have to remain focused and true to yourself. And yeah, that's what I can say as has been part of my motivation. Sticking to your, and always start with an end in mind, okay? Because there's lots of destruction out there. So once you start with an end in mind, it doesn't matter what the curveballs are, you're able to navigate and to win in the end. And you must always have a winning mindset. I always say that perseverance is the winning code, and that's what has propelled me to where I am today. I don't quit.
Oh, sure. Wow. Ms. Pumelelo, before we let you go, Ms. Pumelelo Magatini, tell us in terms of how do you strike a balance between being a woman of faith and being a successful woman in business? Are these two mutually exclusive?
No, they're not. So I always say that at work, you must be used as a good point of reference. You know, you cannot divide, you cannot divorce yourself from your spiritual beliefs. You so who you are will have to be. It's so important that your Christian values are shown not in what you say, but in what you do. Actions speak much louder than words. The way you carry yourself, do you carry yourself with integrity? what values do you lean upon? You know, are you a corrupt individual? Are you a fair leader? You know, all of these things are unspoken things. They are characteristic traits. So how you carry yourself spiritually is, I always say to people that if you really want to test character, you test it where nobody is watching, how you treat your domestic worker behind closed doors. That's true character. And how you treat your receptionist, your PA, you know, the people who are below you, how do you treat them? Do you treat them with grace and kindness the same way you would treat your boss? So, yeah, so you can't divorce the two. Both are aligned.
Okay, perfect. Miss Phumelelo Makatini, firstly, thank you for your time. I know that you're in between appointments. You needed to find a space to squeeze us in. Honor you. We celebrate you. Continue doing the extraordinary work that you're doing in healthcare. Continue being an advocate and being showcased in platforms that really matter. Well done on your piece on Business Day. Well done on being a young, dynamic CEO at your age and also supporting it with the right education and credentials, because education is key. I believe in empowerment. I believe in knowledge. I believe in skills. Mm-hmm. I believe in understanding. And you and I go way back. I mean, we've been doing this right throughout high school. You were extraordinary then as just such a diligent student, and to see you standing in a platform and just being an amazing CEO of really blue chip corporate sector South Africa, it talks volumes about you and your dedication for business and entrepreneurship. So well done. We're going to leave you and continue with our listeners to dial in so they could ask us some questions in terms of just exactly what you talked about. How do we navigate the spaces that are basically earmarked for certain individuals? How do we start playing in those spaces? How do you shut down the noise and the noise even that's playing in your own head to be able to spearhead purpose and faith-driven purpose and direction, and making sure that against all odds you just persevere? Well done. I don't know if you've got any last words before we let you go to our beautiful, amazing listeners and business owners.
What I'd like to say is that South Africa is a beautiful country. We must all work together to make it great. I know there's a lot of negative media publicity. The crime rate is high. We've got a high unemployment rate. South Africa is the most unequal society in the world. How do we redress that inequality? So I would like to see a South Africa that works together in harmony to improve what needs to be done. Government will not do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves. And we need to help government. You know, who is government? Government is people like you and I. So let's work together to make this a better country. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I truly, truly appreciate it. And sorry, I'm a bit distracted because I'm in between meetings. I'm in the car. And I'm really, really sorry if I sounded like I was distracted. So, yeah, but I hope to come back again to motivate your listeners, etc. So thank you very much for having me on your show, Nogwazi.
Well done. And that was Ms. Phumelelo Makatini. Listeners, dial in. We want to talk about business and entrepreneurship. We want to talk about navigating spaces that were very, very difficult to get into as women, right? And we want to talk about how do you shut down the noise that's playing in your own head. How do you stay focused and persevere? You know what I mean? It's so important for us to start getting to a place where we are aware that there are dynamics at place that are trying to short circuit what God has placed inside of you. And you know, giving up is not an option, but what does it mean? How do you not give up? And that's what we want to unpack a little bit further.
So please, send us those beautiful messages on 061-798-1075. We are still, touching on women of substance, changing the landscape, whether in healthcare, logistics, you know, all around, as we let go of Ms. Magatini. So please let us know on our WhatsApp line on 061-798-1075. And you mentioned something about, you know, how do we silence the noise more so the one in our own heads, which I believe is more louder than the noise, you know, exterior. How do you do that? I mean, you know, I believe I'm results driven. You know, I believe I'm disciplined. But how do I silence the doubts that are, it's like, you're not going to get that contract and all of that? How do we silence those?
I think that's one of the most powerful things that we're not talking about, that we, when we talk about faith, right? Mm-hmm. Faith for me is obedience. It's the it's what you do, the action that you take, the step that you take, because you have faith in this unknown, that this is what you ought to be pursuing. Yeah. But if there's no action, if there's no corresponding action, and if there's no aspect of you taking an action to say that I believe and have faith, then you don't have faith, right? But now the issue is, when we talk about being driven and being faith driven, we sometimes do not understand that even the noise that's playing in your head, it does not mean you do not have faith. The most amazing, extraordinary, successful people that I've ever met and have had the privilege of doing life with, is they've learned how to silence the noise in your own head, right? And how do you silence the noise in your own head? You have to have a conviction. We've spoken about it, listeners and business entrepreneurs, that you need to have fundamental truths. You need to know what is true. What is true in this noise that you're hearing? You hear the report, you see the report, but what is the foundational truth? The foundational truth has to be derived in the Word of God, right? And so once you have been able to identify that you're pursuing, that is written, it is written, is far better than any any circumstance that you're coming across in the marketplace. When it says that this is what you ought to be, that you are this that he says that you are, that's what is a conviction. It's the foundational truth. And when I hear the noise, I need to speak against the noise. I need to speak the conviction. I need to speak what I know to be true. I need to speak and call into life the things that are not as if they were. And this is the power of words. This is the power of having knowledge and skills and understanding and this depth, because you are unwavering in all the things that you're seeing before you. And this is why it's important to go out and educate yourself. And I love what Ms. Pamela Lamacatini was talking about, the importance of leveraging on skills, leveraging on understanding, leveraging on information, because information is power. But what information does is it's able to dissect to say, that can't be my reality because it is written. That I refuse it because it is written. That I refuse to make my reality because it is written. It is written is far better than anything that you're ever going to come across that tells you otherwise. Because when you go out into the marketplace, the marketplace will ask you, who sent you? Really? Really? So you think you ought to be in business? Who sent you? You gotta know who sent you, because who sent you, this is why a foundation is important. It allows you to know like you know you're called to be in business, to know like you know that you have what it takes, to know like you know that even when I don't understand that, if it is written in the word that this is who I am, that's what I'll call forth into manifestation. And so one of the things that I think we're lacking, especially as believers, is that sometimes we've confused the understanding and the pursuit of our faith, and then we always find a way to short circuit the process where we think we don't need knowledge, we don't need skills, we don't need to read books, we don't need to be equipped. You are only as good as what you are exposed to.
True.
Because that exposure, it's able to tell you that it is possible. You can build a multi-billion rand media company.
Sure.
You can go and build a multi-billion Pan-African organization. You can go and become that your current circumstance says you cannot, you know. And this is why, even when you are in the Word of God, it is so important that you start to identify in it that pertains to the matter that you're dealing with, and that becomes your conviction. But entrepreneurs, read books. Get knowledge and skills and understanding. Pursue the understanding of the things that we do not know, because when we're failing at it, it is an indicator that you lack knowledge, you lack skills, you lack understanding.
Sure.
So you silence the noise by speaking against that circumstance and saying, this is what it ought to be because it is written.
Yeah, sure. I love that. And also tapping onto those practical steps, you know, of reading books and equipping ourselves ourselves with knowledge. How important is it to have a mentor in the marketplace? You know, I'm a hairdresser, I'm starting up, you know, at my garage. However, I'm looking up to someone who's already, you know, there, the international brand. How important is it to have a mentor to guide you in this process?
I think this is why it's important. My pastor has been talking a lot about honor. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about honor in the show because I believe in it, right?
Yeah.
Honor gives you access. But what is honor? Honoring is giving someone, that person that you're looking up, who has been able to achieve and has got results, and you're bestowing on their life that you know is what they deserve. It's basically looking at somebody and saying you're celebrating them. Mm. Why do we celebrate people? Because they've been able to achieve at an area or at a level where you have not been able to.
Yeah.
So we bestow honor because honor is due to them. Mm-hmm. We downplay honor as entrepreneurs, and we downplay honor sometimes as believers, because
yeah.
we confuse. It's not worshiping a person. That is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically celebrating someone else because they've been able to do something that you cannot do. So this is why it's important, because honor gives you access.
Sure.
This is how I would define it in my own life. Honor is so powerful, guys. And how do you get someone to mentor and coach you? You have to be able to, first of all, discern that grace that is operating in their lives,
yeah.
that grace that is operating in their business abilities, that grace that is operating in their ability to speak, that grace that is operating in their lives, that they're able to get the kind of contracts mm-hmm. that you yourself have never even dreamt humanly possible. The grace for them to be able to have strategic relationships. All those are graces at work. It's favor. It's access. It's the ability to be able to have influence on all these amazing things. When you're able to discern it,
mm-hmm.
you must take the action of going to celebrate it. You are sowing into what you have because you want to partake in that grace that is operating in and through their lives.
Yeah.
So mentoring and coaching is when you're able to decide to look at a person that's ahead of you and mm-hmm. celebrate them, but be able to sit and say to them, you've done something very well in this particular area yeah. of your life. May I sit down and learn? May you take the time to teach me what you understand.
Mm-hmm.
I've got so many mentors and coaches. One of them has been here, Mrs. Kukulamini. I've got, you know, so many amazing people in my life. My mother is one of my mentors. She's extraordinary. She's amazing. She was an accountant, but she's also such a diligent woman, just in her ability to think and adapt.
Sure.
And she's someone that I lean on in quite a huge, vast areas of my life. But I've got others, Dino Zondi, who's the founder of Imbewu Capital, that which is a private equity firm. They own Rainbow Chicken. They've got shares in mining firms. I know that those guys are ahead of me. So when I go and I sit with them and I say, you know what, I'd love to sit down and have lunch with you. When I go there with my notebook. They sit, they enjoy themselves.
They
enjoy the time with me. But the information that they give me, it's the wealth of knowledge that I always say to them, in a couple of years, you can send me an invoice, right? And they laugh about it because they're imparting. I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm asking questions, I'm extracting. So that's someone that's mentoring and coaching me. And why do they give me the time? Why would someone give you their time? It's because you are honoring them. You celebrate and you respect that you're going to receive, because receiving, you can only receive from a posture of meekness and humility. And people confuse what meekness and humility is. It's that balance of the mentality that says that I am going to be teachable. I'm going to be able to just suck in and not come in with I know it all mentality.
Yeah.
That's what meekness is. That's what humility is. It's being teachable as a vessel. And so people will always give you their time, and they'll tell you stuff that they wouldn't tell anybody else when you honor them. Honor is the kind of currency that gives you access, and it gives you access into spaces and into people, because those people are the people that we talk about. Destiny helpers, right? Destiny helpers. Everyone is praying, give me destiny helper, destiny helper. God has given us destiny helpers, and for a lot of us, we have dishonored them. This is why it's important that you're able to discern when someone is operating with the grace that is above you. There's four categories of what I call destiny helpers, right? They are people that are men of influence.
Okay.
They are sitting in a position where they are able to influence change in the mm-hmm. marketplace. When they say that that SMME, I'm vouching for them because of their influence, yeah. that institution is going to take you seriously, mm. right? That is, it's important for you to identify who are the people that are men of influence within the spheres and the areas where you're operating as a business owner. And then we've got people that are burden bearers.
Okay.
Burden bearers are people who take for granted. My mom is a burden bearer. She's someone that likes me with or without the talent, mm. with or without the success, with or without anything that is tangible. I am her daughter. She loves me regardless. And yeah. she's invested her life to make sure that I and all my siblings are successful. Mm-hmm. So that for me is a burden bearer. So when I'm up or I'm down, I'm in the middle, I don't know. You've got to identify people in your life then that they are there even without mm. that sure. is tangibly a success in your life. Those are burden bearers, you know. And there are certain other people that I call in my space, like they are what I call gifted people. Mm-hmm. I've got a woman that works in my business who, it doesn't matter whether the chips are falling, I always say to her, you are not leaving, because she's a gifted person, yeah. but she's the kind of talent that I know is a rare talent. Yeah. Mm. Gifted people are the people that will come in and be able to do the kind of technical skill and technical knowledge and technical understanding beyond what is attainable in a physical realm. You sure. know, like, you know that sure. there's an anointing working mm. in and through that person. The way that they lead, the way that they tackle problems, the way that they address challenges, yeah. the way that they stand there as a pillar, regardless of whether things are going up and down. A gifted person is someone that you must honor, sure. because what you do is you are able to gain access, partly because that person becomes an important aspect of your growth strategy in your business, right? Mm. And so it's so important for us as entrepreneurs to get out of the mindset of always taking, honoring. Get yourself a little gift that doesn't cost more than 100 rands. Go and buy an amazing book. Go and give it to someone that you celebrate, someone that yeah. you are sowing and seeding the knowledge and the skills and the understanding that they have, and say, hey, I'd love to honor you. And you know, when you have time, please, can we sit down and have some coffee? Mm. Don't go around someone that you don't know and say, please come and sure. mentor me, come and coach me. Yeah. Why would they even give you that time? Because they don't even know you. Whereas when you're able to discern and celebrate it in a way that allows you to start building the relationship, when you sit with them, you don't think it's a coaching session, but they're just like offloading wealth and pouring, wealth and abundance yeah. of knowledge and sure. information and understanding. You know what I mean? Women, we need to start working together. We need to start moving away from this competitive approach to life yeah. and start celebrating and seeing in each other that there's a grace operating in her that is just different, that is unique. Go and celebrate it and sow and seed into it, and you'll be amazed what happens in your own life. I am very strategic in terms of how I discern people, and more importantly, how I'm able to understand what is the grace operating in your life, and being able to sit and say, I need that grace of influence, and therefore, I'm going to sow seed. Either sometimes I'm just buying someone chocolates and saying, hey, yeah. how are you doing? You know, when you have yeah. time, let's sit down and have some coffee.
Yeah, sure. Karen is agreeing with all that she's saying about honoring. She says, honoring breaks limitations. Sure. You said it's a currency that gains you access to where you want to be. I love that. It's 10:50. Unfortunately, we have to wrap up. Any last words from you? Any final words?
I think the last one that I didn't really talk about is the divine connectors, right? Divine connectors it's the someone that you least expect. You know, when you remember the story of Naaman, Naaman was never going to get healed of leprosy had he not listened to the slave girl. Mm. The slave girl says, I know a prophet.
Yeah.
Now, this is why it's important, and I loved what Miss Pumelelo Makatini was saying, that really your true character is how you treat the people that are not on the platform. Your PA, your domestic worker, your people that are not on the front runners of your life, they are behind the scene.
Yeah.
So the way that Naaman dealt with that situation and was able to then discern, to sit and say, so you know a prophet, right? If he had not listened to that slave girl, he was never going to get healed. And this is why discernment is important, because for me, the people that I least expected, it's that Uber driver who's just driving randomly says, I know somebody who's just like you.
And you're like, I've been needing that kind of person.
Exactly. Never know who's the person that's going to connect that thing that becomes a pivotal moment in your life. And this is why honoring people, seeing people, celebrating, celebrate the receptionist of every place that you're walking into. Celebrate our security guards. Mm. Celebrate our cleaners. Celebrate the people that will never, ever give you anything in life. This is what honor is about.
Sure. And I believe it circles back to that one important command to love yourself like your neighbor.
Amen.
It sums it all up. At 10:52, we have you back next week. Cannot wait to have you back next week. Wrapping up Women's Month, yes. Are we wrapping up Women's Month next week?
We're wrapping up next week. It's the last Wednesday.
We are wrapping it up in an amazing, amazing manner with our share-a-thon. But Sis Nokwazi, thank you so much. You've been incredible, like always. How can our people contact you? Because every time when you leave, they're like, Sake, where can we get her? Is she on Facebook, Instagram? Where can the folks get you?
Nokwazi at osagroup.co.za. I have not been able to respond to a lot of emails, but what I do want to say is, firstly, we just honor CCFM. Mm-hmm. We honor the women that are here that were celebrating, that are doing different aspects of just really growing this amazing, amazing institution, including yourself. Sake, we honor you. But more importantly is, I honor all the women in my lives. I've got so many extraordinary women that have just been so standing by my side and just like literally cheering me on and saying, don't give up, don't give up. Sure. My mom and so many other extraordinary women. And therefore, as we wrap up and as we wrap up the show, I want us to take this time, go and find someone who's done something good in your life. Mm-hmm. Just send them a message and say, thank you, I honor you. Sure. Someone that you have forgotten, someone that you have dishonored, go back and rebuild that relationship, because that has closed a door and you're wondering why your prayers are not being answered. Sure. Let's go and rectify the mistakes that we've done and just honor the people that are in our lives, right? I'm available at nokwazi@osagroup.co.za. As I told everybody, that we've got a business and entrepreneurship conference that will be the first of its kind in Cape Town that we're launching in November. Like, stay tuned, because I might not have been able to respond to email, but I want to be able to respond with the confirmed dates and the venue so that people that have been engaging with us in the past couple of weeks could come on and we get to know them and we celebrate your businesses and walk out this journey of business and entrepreneurship. We celebrate you.
Sure. Sake. Thank you so much, and I honor and celebrate you. Thank you.